listening to the preaching ministry of Faith Baptist Church.
In this drama that we just witnessed, we saw the art of storytelling in action. Storytelling is indeed an art. It takes skill, it takes creativity, it takes practice to be a good storyteller, to engage your audience and keep them interested. In this story, we saw how Lottie, in her own childlike imagination, pictures what took place there at the nativity scene. And she's a little girl. She's not anyone practiced, anyone experienced, anyone trained. But she tells this simple story for an older man, Mr. Toomey. And what's beautiful about hearing a story from a child is they often have that childlike wonder and enthusiasm when they tell a story. If you're a parent, you know what it's like when your child tells you what happened at school, when they were at school. You know what it's like when they tell you what happened when they went over a friend's house. They love to share what's on their heart, what just happened to them, some exciting event that took place. And that's often absent from adults when we tell our stories. What's fascinating in the gospel accounts, the recorded written records of Jesus' birth, is that we have multiple occasions where people are told about this amazing news that the Messiah has been born, God incarnate has come into the world. And these writers in the Gospels tell us what these people did, how they responded as soon as they heard the news. You might remember how when Mary is first given this announcement that she's pregnant, not by another man, but by God himself, conceiving Jesus in her womb, a virgin birth, something miraculous, never happened in the world before. When she heard that pronouncement from the angel Gabriel, she immediately tells her fiancé, Joseph. And then Joseph, not sure of what to do with this whole story about his soon-to-be wife, now pregnant, he hears a vision from an angel as well. And God instructs him, marry this girl because Mary's story is true. God has, in fact, conceived the Messiah inside of her womb. And so he responds by immediately saying he's going to marry her and have this child with Mary. You have the story of the wise men who, upon seeing a unique star in the sky, they travel 2 years to come and see Jesus, who at that point is a young toddler, and they worship him and bring him gifts. Perhaps the most striking story, though, is the story of the shepherds. Now, shepherds, at this time, it wasn't considered a flashy, romantic occupation. By no means were they important or prosperous or influential people. We have in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, an account of Jesus' birth. We all know the story. We've heard it many times before, perhaps. And if you haven't, the story goes something like this. Mary and Joseph, Jesus' parents, are traveling to Bethlehem, the city of their ancestor David. And there Jesus Christ is born in a manger. And there's a scene right after that, right after this amazing, miraculous event of the God-man coming into the world, we have a story about shepherds. Pretty striking. For us, we're so used to it. It's so commonplace. We hear the story every Christmas. But reading Luke's account, you would find this rather strange. Because he's talking about something so important that Jesus Christ the Messiah is coming to the world, and yet he takes the time to tell us about shepherds. I mentioned before, shepherds at this time, it wasn't something you aspired to be. I mean, you were seen as kind of an outcast of society. You were only fit to watch over animals. That's how important you were. No one wanted to be a shepherd when they grew up. But these shepherds, Luke tells us, are out in the field. And this is what they would be doing around this time of year, between early spring, late fall, is when they would be actually living in the fields with their sheep where they grazed. And that's where Luke tells us these shepherds are. They're living out in the fields. Nothing happening in particular. They have no idea what has just happened until suddenly an angel appears out of nowhere and a bright radiance is everywhere surrounding them. And they are just completely stunned, terrified. What is going on right now? But the angel calms their fears, says, do not be afraid. but rejoice. Because a Savior, Jesus Christ, is born today. Now, just as soon as that angel appeared and was trying to calm their fears, suddenly a whole multitude of angels surrounds him. And they are giving praise to God in the highest. And they are telling about how God's gift of his Son is going to bring peace and goodwill to the earth. And this whole heavenly chorus group of angels, as soon as they were there, suddenly they disappeared. The first angel who came disappeared. And suddenly the night fell silent again. Now these shepherds who saw this incredible event and heard this wonderful news that the Messiah has been born today, that he is here to save his people, they heard that message, and what did they do with it? How did they respond? Well, the Bible tells us that immediately they went to go find the baby Jesus. And in that announcement, the angel told them where they would find him, in the city of Bethlehem, the city of David. And they told him how they would find him. He would look like a baby in swaddling clothes, and he'd be lying in a manger. Well, that narrows it down pretty good then, doesn't it? So as soon as they go find him, the Bible says that they see the child. And Luke doesn't give us very much about what that interaction was like. I'd kind of like to know what the shepherds said, what Mary and Joseph said. I mean, if someone just shows up at your door as soon as you gave birth, I don't think you'd want too many visitors. But the shepherds were there, and they came to see Jesus. As much as we don't have what that interaction was like, the gospel writer Luke does tell us what happened after. And that's what he seems to be more interested in. Because as soon as those shepherds heard the news and saw Jesus for themselves, they went after the sign that the angel had given to them. They immediately started going around the town and telling everybody about this great news. The Bible says they made it widely known. By the time they got back to their sheepfolds that night, there was probably not one person in Bethlehem who hadn't heard the news from these shepherds. That's how excited they were. That's how thrilled and enthused they were to tell about this amazing glad tidings that the Son of God has come into our world, has come to abide among us and be with us, become one of us, so that we could be saved. You know, the story of those shepherds reminds me of Mr. Toomey. If you remember at the end of the drama, Mr. Toomey talks about, he tells the widow and her child how he himself had a wife and a son, and they knew the story of Jesus. But he closed off that channel. He didn't allow them to tell him that story. That one channel of God's grace was completely shut off until, in the story, he decides to open his heart to a young girl, Lottie, who's telling the Christmas story from her own imagination. And it's fascinating because this is what we do very often. To the things that God is trying to teach us and tell us, we close off the one channel that he has to speak to our hearts. And meanwhile, he opens up so many more. And even a little girl could impact this man's life. It's a fictional story, true, but it does happen all around the world, where someone who is previously closed to the gospel, closed to the good news, is opened up once again to it when he hears it again. I wonder if today there's anyone like Mr. Toomey, if there's anyone who has heard the gospel. Literally, that word means good news. It means glad tidings. It means something you want to hear. And who doesn't like telling something that they enjoy hearing themselves? If you heard the most amazing news, how might you respond? Well, perhaps you have a son or a daughter, a grandchild, a spouse, a friend, a coworker, someone who's been trying to share this good news with you. Have you closed off that channel? Have you decided that that news is not for me? I don't need that. Well, unfortunately, that is our sin nature. That is the part of us that doesn't want any of the good things that God offers to us. But friend, let me tell you, God is so good and so rich in his blessings and mercy to us that he gives opportunities like today to come to a presentation where the gospel is given to you not just in dramatic presentation, not just in song, but even in a message. And perhaps God is speaking to your heart today, and he's trying to point out that you are, in fact, estranged from him. You don't belong to him. You're not a child of his. And the only way to become one of his children is to, like Lottie and like the widow, believe in the story of Jesus coming into this world, living a sinless life. He never once did anything wrong, but he did die on a cross at the hands of his enemies. Why would he do such a thing? Why would that little baby who came so innocently, so meekly, so gently, why would he decide to die on a cross? He did it because he loved the world. He did it because he wanted to rescue you, and he wanted to rescue me.
Amen.
That's how much love he has for us.
Amen.
And the way he rescues us is because on that cross, he took your sin upon himself. All the ways in which you have estranged yourself from God, whether by your words or your actions or even your thoughts and feelings. God said all of those things that are totally foreign to him, totally antithetical to his words, to his teachings, to his commands. He says he takes all those things upon himself on the cross. And if you will believe on him and believe that he has not just died, but risen again and is alive today in heaven, he stands ready to offer you the free gift of forgiveness, eternal life, and a relationship with him.
Amen.
Friend, will you take that gift that he offers to you? Will you hear this story, or will you close off the channel of grace that he's given to you? Finally, I want to say to those of us who are perhaps like Lottie and the widow, we already know the story. The story has been taught to us either from when we were young or perhaps very recently. You've heard this story and you've believed it. You've received it for yourself. It has been a personal trust choice to believe on Jesus Christ and his redemption. If that is you, then you, like the characters in our story, have a special responsibility and a privilege to go out like the shepherds and tell someone about it. Tell the most amazing news that Jesus Christ is born for us, to save us. That's what the shepherds did. That was their natural response to these glad tidings of peace and goodwill to men. Friends, if you have believed on Jesus Christ, then I hope this holiday season you take that responsibility very seriously. Lord, who can I talk to? Who can I tell this amazing news? Who can I share why Jesus came and what it means to me? Tell your friends, your coworkers, your family, anyone you spend Christmas and New Year's with this year. I hope you have that opportunity. And may you, like Lottie, have that childlike enthusiasm, a desire, a sincere heart to share what God has given so graciously to you.